You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Local, state, national, all the issues, man. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I think we're about to go to the phones. Boomer, you got him on the line? Give me a thumbs up if you're good. I think he is. Yeah, he did get him. So I found a story on Washington Examiner dated February of this year. Title of it was Evacuation Organizations Band Together for Afghan Allies. And so a number of organizations, all of which are, you know, doing nonprofit evacuations, you know, into Afghanistan and all, have formed together and they call themselves the Moral Compass Federation. Among those is an organization known as Operation North Star. I told you earlier, if you want to check them out, you can see their website, OperationNorthStar.com. They're even quoted in this article where a guy named who goes by the moniker Duke says, Duke, a former recon platoon sergeant and a volunteer with the Moral Compass Federation-affiliated Operation North Star, received extensive video and photographic documentation of Taliban atrocities and told the Washington Examiner that new Taliban guidance orders all those reprisals now to be conducted in secret to keep the video from coming out. But Operation North Star has been going on for a bit. And a guy who has been involved with that, somebody who has been on this show before, and has been with them since their onset back last year, is Ron Lee, an Alabamian, right here in the state of Alabama, living down in the Baldwin County area. But he's on the line right now. Ron Lee, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for making some time. Ron, you and I have talked on the show. It's been quite a while, but I tell you what, before we go any further, why don't you just update folks on what Operation North Star is, how you're made up, and what the mission is.
Yes, thank you. So when the Afghan government and military collapsed so quickly, a lot of us who had served in Afghanistan were concerned about our former Afghan colleagues, you know, our interpreters, fellow soldiers, some of the judges there, and teachers. And so what we quickly did was we formed a group, and there are a number of different groups. You can Google them, and of people of military people that served over there. And what we did is we tried to, and we have done, get some of our people out. And thank goodness that we've had a lot of success. It has slowed down recently. But Operation North Star is a band of former military and current military members. And we're still trying to get people out.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, Ron. You guys are set up as a nonprofit, a 501c3. This is not a government-sponsored event. You guys are literally, average citizens who served in the military, served in Afghanistan, trying to make a difference. So from soup to nuts, like from the time you get a contact point, what happens to get somebody out? What are you having to do and go through? And even what are the costs associated with this?
So right now, the people that were able to get out on State Department sponsored flights are SIV, and those are the special immigrant visa folks, and
right.
That's primarily the interpreters. So the interpreters that worked for the U.S. military. They basically work for the U.S. government. So because of that, they're eligible for SIV visas and status. And they're direct family members, so that would be spouses and children. Now, there are other people that helped us in different capacities, and they were P1, P2, humanitarian parole. But the people that are able to get out right now are SIV. So once we get contacted, by somebody, and a lot of it is truly by social media. Somebody over there will say, "Hey, I was an interpreter, or I worked for a contractor, a U.S. contractor, and I was an interpreter, or I worked in the security. Can you help me get out?" And then so we go through a verification process. They send us all their documents. They send us their letters. And really the most important thing is something called the HR letter. And that is basically a letter from the American contractor or the American, NCO that worked with that that individual and said, "Hey, I worked with this individual. He was with us for a year. He served well. We trusted him. And I'm writing this letter, to help sponsor his SIV application." So once we can verify all of that, then we get the ball rolling. We get their passport information. They have something called a Tascara card, which is their identity card for being an Afghan citizen. If they have birth certificates. Things like that. So once we collect that, then put it. There's a special database form now that the State Department has, and then we send that forward to a contractor that works for the State Department, and then once they can verify everything, then they can get them on a flight, here.
Okay.
Or a series of flights that will lead them here.
So let me ask you something. I mean, I would assume this is still high risk for them. The Taliban don't appreciate people trying to leave or even coordinating with the United States. So do you still have to – I know at first you were having to use safe houses. You were having to charter – I remember talking to you back in the day, and you guys were literally having to sort of charter some fly-by-night kind of operations. You had to charter some planes out of, neighboring countries. They would fly in, sit on the tarmac at Mazar-e Sharif. You had to rush people to get there out of the safe houses. Are you still having to do that kind of an operation, or is it more coordinated, more streamlined?
So it's more streamlined. The State Department basically has taken control of it. The good thing is a lot of these things are happening now without being plastered all over the news. Because obviously, if you can imagine, if these things were being shown on the news on a daily basis, hey, the U.S. succeeded in getting, another plane load of our allies and our colleagues out of Afghanistan, the Taliban would not like that, and, bad things would happen. So the State Department is taking over these flights. And but we need to sustain these folks until they can get on a flight, and that takes time, because these contractors that work for the State Department, they have to process the information and the documents, and also verify the individuals and their families. So there could be little glitches here and there. For example, we have, as you can imagine, families that adopt their nephew or their niece, and so we have to get those documents. And so there's little things like that we just have to work through. But eventually, once we can verify, the information, then the State Department, the contractor will notify that individual, and then get their family ready. But until then, we have to do things to help sustain them, and sometimes we have to move them from town to town, because we had just recently one of the sons went to school, and the Taliban went to his classroom and said, "Hey, we understand your dad is in hiding, and he was an interpreter. Where is he? You need to let us know." were trying to help them. And then if he doesn't tell them, then they actually ended up roughing them up a little bit. It wasn't too bad, but obviously we had to take that family and move them to a different city.
Wow.
So it's still scary. You know, a lot of what the Taliban doing, what they're doing right now, particularly with the coercion and the physical abuse of people, they're trying to keep it on the down low. They don't want it on the news. You know, they're still doing what they were doing in the past, but they're not doing out in the open.
Well, listen, Ron, I'll tell you what, we got no choice but to take a break. Can you hang on through the break? Because I want to come back from that and get some anecdotes, some stories about some of the more difficult, you know, rescues or evacuations you've Operation North Star has been a part of, and also how people can get in touch with y'all if they want to, okay?
Thank you.
All right, hang tight. We'll go through this break real quick. We'll come right back from that. We'll finish up. We're talking to Ron Lee. He's a guy right here in Alabama who just saw the need and said, you know what, this is not going to stand. And so Operation North Star, one of many groups working now alongside the State Department. For a while there, they were working in spite of the State Department to get people out of the country and give them a chance at freedom. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, I'm talking about we're spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, parts of Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, listen, we're going right back to the phones right now. Ron Lee has been working with Operation North Star for the last year to help rescue Afghans and actually U.S. citizens, too, who have been trapped by the debacle of a pullout that the U.S. government kind of led the way on 1 year ago this week. That being said, I want to bring you right back on the phones. Ron, listen, I'd love to hear. I'm sure there are some stories that stand out in your mind of what it took to get somebody out, or the threats to the people as you did it, or local officials that had to get bribed, or who knows what. But I'd love to hear a story or two of what y'all went through to get some of those rescues done.
Sure. I'll give you one story of two brothers. They were both interpreters, and just a little bit of what they went through to get out. Both these guys served as interpreters. One actually did two tours as an interpreter with the U.S. military. And about a week before the fall of our pullout of Afghanistan, I was trying to get in touch with one of them, the one that I that worked with our unit when we were over there, and so I was contacting some of our former medics and said, hey, have you heard, and I'll just call him Abdul. Have you heard from Abdul? Do you know was he trying to get on a plane? Is he trying to get into the airport and, you know, and try to evacuate? And they said, yeah, he's been trying, but he's not having any luck. And I said, well, I've lost touch with him. The only way I know how to get in contact with him, you know, is, I hate to say it, but through Facebook. And I said, so I sent him a friend request, and he wouldn't take it. And so finally, I had to change my profile picture of the one that I had with him when I was there. And then I sent him a friend request, and he accepted. Basically said, yeah, I just have to be careful because of the Taliban. And then so we got on a signal. You know, the Taliban still haven't figured out how to break that code.
Yeah.
But they've broken the code for WhatsApp. So they learned from the Chinese how to break that code. So we started talking, and I said, well, what's going on? Are you trying to get your family into the airport on a plane. You have all your papers. They say, I have all my papers, but we can't get into the airport because every entrance was basically clogged by, you know, thousands of people, you know. So, you know, can you imagine people, cars, buses, just, you know, people couldn't get in. You know, it's just because they were having to process, you know, just, you know, these onesies, twosies, you know, before they would let them in. And so he said, I tried to get on the State Department website, and this is where they got me. So I said, well, give me what you got, and let me go through it. And so I started making phone calls with the State Department, and I realized, and very quickly, this ain't going to work.
Yeah,
the State Department is not going to help us. You know, we got to do some other, you know, make some other arrangements here and other plans. And so I started contacting some of my old buddies, and then they contacted their buddies. And so before we knew it, we had a group, you know, thank goodness some of the people in our group knew people, some of the Afghan special forces inside the airport. So we had direct contact with the folks inside the airport. And then so what we would try to do is try to get them through certain gates and before a crowd formed, or, you know, or before a crowd that was there got even larger, because once the gates started opening, it got crazy.
Yeah.
So we'd get our folks in front of one gate, and then it came to a standstill. And you know, the threat was always, you know, suicide bombers.
And hey, Ron, Ron, we got about a minute and a half, man. I just got to tell you, we got about a minute and a half.
Oh, no worries. So basically, we were able to get them to Masri Sharif. We got them on a plane through another organization, and we got them to the humanitarian city in Qatar. They were processed by the U.S. government there. And then they got on a plane and they made it to Fort Lee here, and they got further processing. And now one of those guys, I was able to get him to truck driving school, and we're still working on trying to get his family here. But he's working. He's a tax-paying, you know, future U.S. citizen.
Wow.
So it's his future is looking good.
That is just epic cool. And I know those stories are still developing. I mean, that organization's still going, but. Listen, in the last 30 seconds we got here, Ron, if people want to help, if they want to contribute, if they want to be a part of what you're doing, how can they get in touch with you? Where can they find out more?
Sure. So if you get on our website, www.operationnorthstar.com, there is a link there that will lead you to donors for donors. And it'll walk you right through how to make donations to our organization, you know. And again, the good thing is the State Department is paying for these flights, but we need to help sustain these folks until they can get on a flight.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's really our goal now.
All right, Ron Lee, the music's playing. That means I'm headed to a break. Thanks for making the time for us, man. And by the way, thanks for being a hero and stepping into a situation, you and all the others that work with you. We appreciate you, and thanks for your service.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What a cool story. I mean, that's just a guy right here in Alabama who said, you know what, not on my watch, and just got busy, started doing something. All right, I'm going to wrap that up when we get back. You want to call in and talk about it, you can. 833-68-RIGHT, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.